Father, we thank you and praise you for today. Lord, we thank you for your word. We are amazed. We are so amazed how you take care of us, all the things that you've done for us and continue to do for us as you build up your body, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that you're building our faith like never before, so we could walk in this world victorious in every area of our life. Yes, authority. And when he said authority before, I saw a seal. The Lord says we're sealed in the blood of the covenant, but a seal represents authority. And maybe the Lord's going to give me a message on that. But that's how he does it with me. He starts little downloads and then it expands. So, well, anyway, today's message is belief, faith, and trust. Understanding the difference between belief, faith, and trust. This message today is kind of the conclusion of the message to fear. It's not our enemy. Fear is our enemy, and being in sync with God. Okay, this is kind of the conclusion. So when we receive information, whether it is in the natural or spiritual, our minds will process it. Either we will accept it, reject it, or we remain neutral with the information that we're receiving. If you are a person that needs to see it first before you believe it, that, of course, isn't faith. Okay? If you're a person that goes by feelings and facts, that isn't faith either. Now, let's take a look at Thomas, in Doubting Thomas in John 20:19. And of course, I always use the Passion, so unless I tell you otherwise. So this is Jesus after the resurrection. John 20:19. Everybody there? Okay. That evening, the disciples gathered together, and because they were afraid of reprisals from the Jewish leaders, they locked the doors to the place where they met. But suddenly, Jesus appeared to them and said, God bless you. That was perfect. Okay, let me repeat that. He could have said that. I don't know. It's not written here. But suddenly Jesus appeared to them and said, peace to you. Then he showed them the wounds of his hands and his side, and they were overjoyed to see the Lord with their own eyes. Jesus repeated his greeting, peace to you. And he told them, just as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. Then taking a deep breath, he blew on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. I send you to preach the forgiveness of sins, and people's sins will be forgiven. But if you don't proclaim the forgiveness of their sins, they will remain guilty. And then one of the 12 wasn't present when Jesus appeared to them. It was Thomas, whose nickname was the twin. So the disciples informed him, we have seen the Lord with our own eyes. Still unconvinced, Thomas replied, there's no way I'm going to believe this unless I personally see the wounds of the nails in his hands, touch them with my finger, and put my hand into the wound of his side where he was pierced. Then 8 days later, Thomas and all the others were in the house together, and even though all the doors were locked, Jesus suddenly stood before them. Peace to you, he said. Then looking into Thomas's eyes, he said, put your finger here in the wounds of my hands. Here, put your hand into my wounded side and see for yourself. Thomas, This is Jesus saying, Thomas, don't give in to your doubts any longer. Just believe. Then the word spilled out of his heart. This Thomas spills out of his heart. You are my Lord and you are my God. Jesus responded, Thomas, now that you have seen me, you believe. But there are those who have never seen me with their eyes, but they have believed in me with their hearts, and they will be blessed even more. And then it said, Jesus went on his way. I'll read the rest. Jesus went on to do many more miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not even included in this book. But all that is recorded here is so that you will fully believe that Jesus is the Anointed One, the Son of God, and that through your faith in him, you will experience eternal life by the power of his name. Hallelujah. So the Bible says in Hebrews 11:1, which we're all familiar with, that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. In the Hebrew Bible, they do not use the word, and I've said this many times, they do not use the word faith. They use the word trust. I like that better because it released me from my belief system that I had to do something to make my faith work for me. Some kind of a works mindset. And I can't even tell you what that was because I don't even know. But that's how I felt. In Hebrews 10:38, in the Passion, it says, we are reminded that it says, my righteous ones will live from my faith, living from God's faith. It also says that in the Old Testament, Habakkuk 2:4. It is saying to us, faith or trust is already in his word and in his promises. We just have to believe it and trust it. It says that the word in Hebrews 4:12, let's turn there, Hebrews 4:12. Now, it says it a little different than most of the translations, but it says it about the word. For we have the living word of God, which is full of energy, like a two-mouth sword. It will even penetrate to the very core of our being, where soul and spirit, bone and marrow meet. It interprets and reveals the true thoughts and secret motives of our hearts. There is not one person who can hide their thoughts from God, for nothing that we do remains a secret. And nothing created is concealed, but everything is exposed and defenseless before his eyes, to whom we must render an account. So God's word, it says here, is alive and full of energy. It also says, you know, if this weren't true, then it wouldn't be written, right? So this word is alive. And it also says in Isaiah 55:11 that the word does not return to him void or without accomplishing what it is sent out to do. That's powerful. And in the footnote, it says here, God speaks his word, and then we, in agreement, also speak his word, and it becomes a two-mouth sword. That's amazing to me. He's so supernatural. I love it. The definition of faith in Hebrew is confidence and trust in who God is and what he says. Now, the definition in Greek, what belief is, belief means to commit onto, be committed to one's trust, be put in trust with, and it also means, listen to this, obey. And that's, I don't think I could pronounce the Greek word. It's like phaseo or something like that. Sure. Which part? Both of them? Okay. In the Hebrew, faith is confidence, and trust in who God is and what he says. The definition in Greek, what belief is, it means to commit unto, be committed to one's trust, be put in trust with, and it also means obey. Now, when we hear or read God's word, we would say to ourselves, I believe it. But saying we believe and acting on this is where faith or trust comes into play. They are two different things. We can believe, but do our actions show that we believe? The Lord wants us to begin to step out of the boat, keeping our eyes on the word, which is Jesus. Let's turn to Matthew. And let's turn to Matthew 14, starting in 22. Because keeping our eyes on Jesus will be okay when we're walking on the water. Okay, and you'll see what I mean. Let's turn there. Matthew 14, 22. Or it might be 12. Let me look. 22? My handwriting. See, I every day I tweak the message, and it ends up I'm writing instead of typing after a while. Okay, let's see here. 22 will start, just so we have a background. As soon as the people were fed, Jesus told his disciples to get into their boat and to go to the other side of the lake, while he stayed behind to dismiss the people. After the crowds dispersed, Jesus went up into the hills to pray. And as night fell, he was there praying alone with God. But the disciples, who were now in the middle of the lake, ran into trouble with their boat. It started to toss about by the high winds and the heavy seas. At about 4 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came to them, walking on the waves. Now, picture that, okay? Got the picture? When the disciples saw him walking on top of the water, they were terrified and screamed, "It's a ghost!" Then Jesus said, "Be brave and don't be afraid, I'm here." And Peter shouts out to the Lord, "If it's really you, then have me join you on the water." "Come and join me," Jesus says. So Peter stepped out into the water and began to walk towards Jesus. But when he realized how high the waves were, he became frightened and started to sink. "Save me, Lord," he cried out. Jesus immediately stretched out his hand, lifted him up, and said, "What little faith you have. Why would you let doubt win?" In the very moment they both stepped into the boat, the raging wind ceased. Then all the disciples crouched down before him and worshiped Jesus. They said in adoration, "You are truly the Son of God." Hallelujah. So it's just like us. Okay? So Peter started to sink after he got his eyes off of Jesus, and he started to look at his circumstances. Okay? If we aren't fully convinced that what God is saying is true or worth doing, we will not act. But if we are fully convinced what God is saying is true, we will act. Right? So sometimes God will tell us, get out of the boat and do something. But we get into this, start looking at everything. And then we talk ourselves right out of it. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was stepping out of the boat, walking on water, and looking at Jesus, you're probably okay, but then all of a sudden you're looking, "Oh my God, I'm walking on water. This can't be true." You know? So then your mind goes into doubting. And then you probably start thinking you're going to drown, and then Jesus has to come and save you, and he always does anyway, even when we make a mistake. So he's always there, and that's a good thing. We hear people say they believe in God all the time. People say they believe in God, but their lives never change. because it's coming out of their lips and not out of their hearts. To put one's faith in something or someone means that one is putting his or her trust in that person or thing. It means reliance on, dependent upon that person or thing. Now, I remember the first time I got on a plane. My nose is dripping. I was pregnant with Eric, and I was going to see my parents in Florida for the first time after they moved out of Jersey. I was so fearful of getting on that plane. I was by myself. I was seated next to a professional female tennis player, and she had all to do to keep me calm. I was so afraid, and I kept saying, I didn't trust the plane, I didn't trust the pilot. I kept thinking of all kinds of crazy stuff, but I kept praying at the same time in my fear, and I thought I was gonna get sick, okay? Maybe because I was pregnant, I don't know, but I felt like I was gonna throw up. Now, years later, I know when I book a flight from ABE to Florida, I'm getting on the plane with expectations of getting to Florida, and I'm going on my vacation. Now I trust the plane, and I trust the pilot, because I put my trust in the Lord. But if I didn't get on that plane, I wouldn't get to my happy place and receive the benefit of the vacation. We have to fight the fear and fight the unbelief and step out. Same with the Word of God and His promises. We believe God exists, but do we have the faith or trust that His Word, whether it is written Word or the spoken Word, that it will come to pass? Now let's turn to Romans 1:16. Romans 1:16. Says, I refuse to be ashamed of sharing the wonderful message of God's liberating power to unleashed in us through Christ. For I am thrilled to preach everyone. Let me say that again. For I am thrilled to preach that everyone who believes is saved, the Jew first, and then people everywhere. This gospel unveils a continual revelation of God's righteousness, a perfect righteousness given to us when we believe. And it moves us from receiving life through faith to the power of living by faith. This is what the scripture means when it says, we are right with God through life-giving faith. When we believe the gospel as the good news, it then moves us from receiving life through faith or trust to moving into the power of living by faith or trust. I want to be in the power, don't you? Faith or trust is putting action behind the word, being obedient to the written word or the spoken word given to us will bring us towards us fulfilling His will, and then we will get the benefit from it. Many people don't believe that God is love. And because of that lack of knowledge, they don't know that God doesn't kill, steal, or destroy. So they believe that everything that happens to them is from God. They believe that God is angry and mean. They believe that sickness and lack is God's will for them, or it just wouldn't happen. A lot of people believe that because they don't understand who God is. Now, Jesus says in this translation, in many of the translations, it says in John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. To me, that sounds like a control freak. I'm telling you how I feel. And that's what I used to think God was. I have to believe everything. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do, or else He's not going to love me. That's not what it says. That's why I love the Passion so much. So Jesus says it like this in the Passion. Loving me empowers you to obey my commands. It sounds better to me. I believe that's how Jesus would say it, because God is love and Jesus is just like the Father, right? And God is love. He wouldn't say, now you gotta believe and you gotta trust me and you gotta do what I say. That sounds like a father, unearthly father to me, you know? But anyway, that's how I think. Now let's turn to 1 John 2, 3. 1 John 2, 3. Not all fathers are mean. But when I grew up, my father said, you have to listen to me. I'm your father. And you got to do what I say. That causes you to be in rebellion. I'm sorry. Getting off. Right. We won't go there. Forgive me, Lord. Okay. Here's how we can be sure that we're truly come to know God. If we keep his commands, if someone claims I have come to know God by experience, yet doesn't keep God's commands, he is a phony and the truth finds no place in him. But the love of God will be perfected within the one who obeys God's word. We can be sure that we're truly come to live in intimacy with God, not just by saying, I am intimate with God, but by walking in the footsteps of Jesus. Beloved, I'm not writing a new commandment to you, but an old one that you had from the beginning, and you already heard it. Yet in a sense, it is a new commandment, as its truth is made manifest both in Christ and in you. Because the darkness is disappearing and the true light is already blazing. Anyone who says, I am in the light, while holding hatred in his heart towards a fellow believer, is still in the darkness. But the one who truly loves a fellow believer lives in the light. And there is nothing in him that will cause someone else to stumble. But whoever hates a fellow believer lives in the darkness, stumbling around in the dark with no clue where he is going, for he is blinded by the darkness. Wow. So we love people, right? Perfect love casts out all fear, and love covers a multitude of sin. So the proof of God in us is how we act, and that is true faith. Now, Jesus is our example of what faith looks like and acts like. It says in Hebrews 3:1 that Jesus had faith in the Father to do and say what God wanted. Now, let's look at Hebrews chapter 3, 1 through 6. It says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, you are now made holy, and each of you is invited to the feast of your heavenly calling. So we're all invited. So fasten your thoughts fully unto Jesus, whom you embrace as our apostle and king priest. For he was faithful to the Father who appointed him, in the same way that Moses was a model of faithfulness in what was entrusted to him. But Jesus is worthy to receive a much greater glory than Moses, for the one who builds a house deserves to be honored more than the house he builds. Every house is built by someone, but God is the designer and the builder of all things. Indeed, Moses served God faithfully in all he gave him to do, His work prophetically illustrates things that would later be spoken and fulfilled. But Christ is more than a servant. He was faithful as the Son in charge of God's house. And now we are part of his house if we continue courageously to hold firmly to our bold confidence in our victorious hope. So Jesus was faithful to the Father. All the healings, all the encouraging words that Jesus spoke out of his mouth, all the miracles he did was all done in faith. Jesus was empowered by love, the love of the Father. We are now offered the same promise of faith, rest, life, trusting God in everything in every way. Hebrews 4:1 reminds us of that. Let's turn there. Well, I'm going to start in Hebrews 3:16 to give you a background. So just turn back a page. Because you have to know what they're talking about before we get into... Hebrews 3:16, and then we'll get into 4:1. It says, the same people who were delivered from bondage and brought out of Egypt by Moses were the ones who heard and still rebelled. They grieved God for 40 years by sinning in their unbelief until they dropped dead in the desert. So God swore an oath that they would never enter into his common place of rest, all because they disobeyed him. It is clear that they could not enter into their inheritance because they wrapped their hearts in unbelief. Then in 4:1 it says, now God has offered to us the same promise of entering into his realm of resting in confident faith. So we must be extremely careful to ensure that we all embrace the fullness of that promise and not fail to experience it. For we have heard the good news of deliverance just as they did, yet they didn't join their faith with the word. Instead, what they heard didn't affect them deeply, for they doubted. For those of us who believe, faith activates the promise, and we experience the realm of confident rest. Hallelujah. So faith and the word have to go together. And when we have to rest assured in that, and that what he says is true, and we could rest in that. When God tells you something, instead of doubting, we rest in that and trust that that word or that promise will come to pass. Now, Jesus is our example. He is our living faith. He perfects our faith because he was perfect before the Father. Now, I'm going to end with this scripture. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 1:1-4. I know this is a short message, but this is kind of the conclusion of those messages. It says, throughout our history, God has spoken to our ancestors by his prophets in many different ways. The revelation he gave them was only a fragment of at a time, building the truth upon another. So he gives us a little bit here, a little bit there. But to us living in these last days, which we're in, and that started in Pentecost, God now speaks to us openly in the language of a son, the appointed heir of everything, and through him, God created the panorama of all things in all time. The sun is the dazzling radiance of God's splendor, the exact expression of God's true nature, his mirror image. Jesus is just like the Father. He holds the universe together and expands it by the mighty power of his spoken word. He accomplished for us the complete cleansing of sins and then took his seat on the highest throne at the right hand of the majestic one. Hallelujah. Jesus is and always will be our living faith. Faith is a living thing. So believe and trust in God because faith all things are possible. And I'm going to end with that. Amen. Jesus. Amen.